bless God for that? Amen means I agree. You don't. Maybe some of the problems, some of the, we're not seeing some of the manifestations of our prayers is because we don't agree. Amen. We say we believe that God is a keeper, and don't nobody say amen. So maybe that's why you're not kept. We say we believe that God is going to bless us according to His riches and glory, not according to your job, not according to your paycheck, not according to your boo, your bae, what they give you, but according to God and all of His riches and glory. And we say amen, and you don't say amen. Maybe that's why you're broke. So let's just try it again. We bless God because He is a wonderful God. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to stay seated. I'm going to read these verses, and we're going to get right on into this. I'm going to work for you today, if that's all right. I bless God for seeing all of these beautiful faces in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Bless God for all of our visitors, a.k.a. extended family. Somebody that made my day in here today. Amen. I should have known. I would have never guessed when they said he's going to be surprised. I'm more than surprised. My great friend, Roger Kincaid, is in the house today. Let's bless the Lord. Some people, let me set this up so that you'll clap right. There's been some, how many of you love your pastor? Amen. You are with him. You are with him. There and now and then. I was kind of scared to say that. But there were some people that kept your pastor's head straight when he was doing some of that penitentiary time, and when he was doing some of that jail time. You understand what I'm saying to you? And had it not been for him, some of these people that God blessed me with to keep my head in order, I probably would have tricked it all. And none of this that we go through today, as far as the Unity Worship Center is concerned, would be in existence. Amen. This man was one of the people that kept my head straight. Watch this. And not only that, when he got out, watch this, he made sure I ate. I got family members that didn't make sure I ate. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when he got out, never said a word, never told me what he was going to do, he just popped up and began to make sure I ate. Can we just bless God for pastor's friend, Roger Kincaid? Amen. Hallelujah. Love you, brother. How about that praise team? Amen. Can we bless the Lord for the praise team? I saw y'all moving a little bit more than usual. Amen. I told Kevin, I said, look at all of God's exes, ex-club goers, I just had to stop right there. I couldn't take it no deeper cut. I said, look at all of God's exes. Everybody trying to move holy, knowing they won't break loose up in His peace. Amen. We bless God for our musicians and our praise team. Amen. Come on, they was here last night, yesterday. The musicians were here yesterday without the singers practicing to make sure that today was what it was supposed to be. Let's bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We also bless God. We had an awesome fish fry yesterday. Amen. Paid for some things that we wanted paid for. We thank God for that. Come on, put your hands together. Hey, team love is the bomb. Amen. Amen. They didn't require anything of us, even though they had me back there making macaroni and cheese. So some of you liked it. You're welcome. Amen. And we bless God for all who came out and supported it. Amen. But it's been a good week. It's been a real good week. God is good. And He is worthy to be praised. Listen, I want to go ahead and make it happen. We got children's church open today. We got anybody in the house today? We got children's church open today. Amen. If we have children in here, we got about four. All right. So we're gonna just chill today. How about that? We're gonna chill. I believe that the kids are gonna get something out of this. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. And before I get started, I want you to know that your t-shirts, your hoodies came in today. So if you can see me after church, so I don't have to pay all this money myself, I would greatly appreciate you. Amen. Your t-shirts and hoodies are in today, and they are awesome. I must say, they are awesome. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, and this is the New Living Translation. This is the New Living Translation, and we find the Apostle Paul saying these words. So the trouble is not with the law. Y'all have a seat. I'm going to work for y'all. Y'all have a seat. It's kind of long. I'm going to work for you today. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. Come on. I, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows me that I agree that the law is good. The law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong, watch this, but it is the sin living in me that does it. I just bless somebody. Come on, I need 18. And I know that nothing lives in me that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, watch this, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do the things that are wrong, but I seem to do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one that's doing wrong. It is the sin that's living on the inside of me that does it. Come on. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin of living in me that you took me back. I need 18. Come on. I have discovered. Watch this. Where we go to? Did we jump from 17 to 18? We on point right now? All right. I have discovered, have you discovered this, that this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart. Come on. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin. That is still within me. Can we just deal with that for a second before we go to verse 24? It says this power makes me a slave to sin. Watch this. This just blew my mind. I just caught this. The Holy Ghost just showed me this. It says that is still in me. So this lets us know that Paul is somewhere, when it comes to the things of God, he's on a higher level. But he's tripping because there is still sin. Sin is still in him. Verse number 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. You should have lost your mind right there. Thank God. Anybody ever just been a hot mess times three and God love you anyway and you just had to drop your head sometimes and just say, thank you, God. Anybody should have got, you know, A, B, C, and D and didn't get anything at all and you just couldn't help but just go ahead and release into the atmosphere. Thank you, God. Lord, have mercy. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave. I am a slave to sin. Somebody get proud of him. We can, in actuality, read this a couple of more times and just call it a day. Amen. If I could talk to you today from a title, I would like to talk to you from the title of this sermon series, which is entitled, My Dark Passenger. My Dark Passenger. I would first like to start this series out with an admittance of where this series was birthed from. As many of you know in here that I'm a TV fanatic. About 10 years ago, I was introduced to a cable television show by the name of Dexter. And in the television show, Michael C. Hall, who plays the character of Dexter Morgan, who works as a forensic technician specializing in bloodstain pattern analysis. And he works in this capacity for the fictional Miami Metro Police Department. Dexter Morgan is a man who leads a secret or a parallel life as a vigilante serial killer, hunting down murderers who have not been adequately punished by the justice system due to corruption or legal technicalities. Now, I want you to understand that Dexter, for the most part, is a very moral man. He has respect for life, and ironically enough, he respects life so much that when someone's life has been wrongly taken or violated in a horrific manner, and they don't get what they deserve, there is a part of him that cannot rest until they're dealt with. I think that we can all relate to Dexter Morgan in one way or another because, for the most part, no one likes to see something horrific done to someone for no reason at all, and the person have to pay no penalty at all. In fact, we are dealing with an epidemic in Lexington, Kentucky right now where gun violence is at an all-time high. And the parents who have lost some of their babies and the killer has yet to be caught and there seems to be no progress in the investigation. See, I can understand those parents starting to feel a little Dexter-ish. I think that at one time or another, if we're all being honest, we have all heard about something horrible happening to someone happening to someone who by no means deserved it at all, and the person who did it got away with it, and we just wanted to do something. Not too many moons ago, in Louisville, Kentucky, a 5-year-old boy was sitting at his kitchen table enjoying a piece of birthday cake, and bullets rang out from the alley. And one of the bullets actually went through the window, struck the 5-year-old boy eating his birthday cake, allowing us to know that he was newly 5 years old and took his life. And the way it was set up, nobody would tell who done it. We have laws in the streets. Some of you might not know anything about that, but we have laws in the streets, and one of the commandments of the streets, when something heinous like this is done, we say things like, the police better find them before we do. Can I just go ahead and tell you that at this very moment, everybody who was in retirement came out of retirement on the strength of this 5-year-old baby. Because there's no rules when something like this has happened. I don't want to hear about you a snitch or you a rat. This baby is a civilian. It had nothing to do with what it was y'all was going through. So you either turn yourself in or you're done in. Now, please understand that even though Dexter has this thing deep down on the inside of him that propels him to act out in a carefully yet calculated yet cold-blooded murderous way when he's witnessed injustice, this really isn't who he wants to be. And all throughout the show, we see Dexter Morgan is in constant turmoil with his inner self who he has given his own name, and he has named this demon My Dark Passenger. Now, 10 years ago, when I first began to watch this TV show, God did not release this series in my mind because God knew what I did. And that was that even though the show would end in 2013, there would be a sequel. And I want you to catch this because this is so very important. And, excuse me, the narrative of the sequel would serve more of a purpose for this sermon series now than it would have 10 years ago. Because 10 years to date, after Dexter Morgan was determined to be dead, we find him alive and well, living under the fake identity of Jim Lindsay, a local shopkeeper in Iron Lake, New York. Then Dexter, now Jim, has changed everything about his life. He has sought out the most comfortable situation that would keep his dark passenger at bay. The town that he now calls home is a very little town, and it has very little violent crime. And when violent crime does happen, the killer is usually caught and prosecuted properly. So this is the perfect place for Dexter, then Dexter, now Jim, because nothing is propelling his dark passenger to arrive. I would like to stop and ask you another question. Does Ben Dexter, now Jim, seem like someone you might know? Or does his thought process remind you of someone else's thought process at different times? Dexter has made the mistake that many of us have made, and sometimes still make. Well, let me put it like this. I don't want to speak for everyone, so let me just speak for me. I have sat in jails and in state prisons and put together plans that should keep me on the straight path once I get out. It should keep me focused and no longer in a life of crime and all that comes with it. And if you've ever been in any trouble and you've ever had to sit down for a minute, then you know what I'm talking about. And even if you hadn't sat down for a minute, you've been hurt and broken, and you sat down in your room and decided, you know, you put up a plan where you wasn't going to never be broken again. So I just want y'all on the same page with me. But if you've been in jail, let me tell you how it pops off. You know, you say stuff like, when I get out this time, I'm going to move out of Lexington. Yeah, because see, Lexington was a part of the problem. Uh-huh. Yeah, because once I leave Lexington, I won't be around nor have access to the streets anymore. And most of you ain't ever been to jail, but you catch yourself saying stuff like this. I'm going to move out of town where I can be me for real. I'm going to move out of town where don't nobody know me and I don't know nobody. Can I just go ahead and bless somebody in here? I don't care if you move a million miles away. You can't get away from you. If you jacked up in Lex, you're going to be jacked. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So, you know, I'm going to move somewhere where don't nobody know me. And watch this, man, because I actually did this. Let me just go ahead and put you up on it. And I'm going to find me a girl. Watch this. I'm going to find me a girl that ain't got nothing to do with the streets this time, because we always want the girl. We always want the boo. And so I'm going to find one that ain't got, ain't never been in the streets. And watch this. She's going to be a nurse. Yeah, that's it, a nurse. Who does Pilates? I want her to do Pilates. And that means she's going to be in good shape. And watch this. She's going to have good credit. And you understand what I'm saying? And she's going to have a good credit. Watch this. And I'm going to get a little job, nothing major, but just something to help. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever put your plan together like that? You know what the person looks like you're going to be with next? You know what they gonna do for a living, because you ain't taking nothing but what you got on your mind. And this whole thing is worked out. Watch this. You got a potential victim. Wait, Lord, have mercy. There is a victim out there not knowing that they are being targeted, and we don't even have a face for the target. Lord, have mercy. And so watch this. So I'm going to get a little job so I can do a little something to help. And the reason that I don't need a job that's going to, have me really working and not working a lot is because what I have yet to figure out is that this whole plan is being orchestrated by my dark passenger. Oh, Lord. He's already controlling my mind, because what I've done so far is had a plan of manipulation. Watch this. I'm going to take it just a little bit deeper. And the reason that I won't need that job and working hard with a bunch of money is because in my plan, my new woman, the nurse who does Pilates, who also has good credit, already owns her house. She's got it going on. She's got her life together. She has a financial routine that does not consist of my little bit of money. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all act like y'all ain't never planned deceitfully like this before. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to be locked up to plan wrong, amen. So get this. Now in my mind, I ain't left the jail yet, but in my mind, when we hook up, I start, I'm gonna pay a little something. I'm gonna keep enough money to pay the water bill and the cable bill, because those are two cheapest bills in the house. And she thinks she's jackpot. I think I'm in love. She thinks she done found the one. She thinks someone's over here like, ain't that just, but it happens. And she thinks she done found the one, but little does she know, she is in love, not with me, because I've not shown her me. She's only in love with my dark passenger. Not understanding that she is just a part of my plan to stay out of prison, to live the rest of my days that I have in luxury, peace, and in contentment. I mean, every now and again, I'll do a little extra just to show that I'm really with her. I'm really in this with her. But for the most part, I'm all the way laid back and chill. Now she has to be fine. She has to be fine, see, because I know me. And I know that that I have a dark passenger that has a fetish for the ladies. So I need her so dope that when I look at other women, I think about my woman, and I think about our house. I think about our credit. See how I made her house and her credit my house, our credit. And I made that mine too. And I think about the Pilates body and how fine she is. And I think to myself, now, no matter how cute this thing might be in front of me, you are not worth risking what I've come up on, and I keep accepting. Notice in my decision to holler or not to holler at the cute young lady, I speak nothing of love. I don't not do it because of love for my woman, but I don't do it on the strength of what I have come up on. some of y'all quiet in here because some of you just figured out you messing with a dark passenger. You've been wrongly happy for years now. I don't come to church for this. He don't work but about 20 to 25 hours a pay period. Huh? You feel the tension in the city right about now. There's going to be some furniture moving a little later on. Gotta be. My dark passenger is in total control because in my mind I have manipulated a woman that I've yet to meet, moved into a house in a city that I haven't even picked out yet, and I done already fought off the thoughts of cheating on my woman with a girl that I don't even know if she really exists or not. Y'all don't hear me. The dark passenger is real. Lord have mercy. I often tell people who know me, I had a plan for when I got out this time. Many of you would, you know, and I would love for you for it to be true. Many of you thought that I just came out of prison and went straight to, but I had a plan that had nothing to do with Jesus. This is what I said. And my dark passenger, he was in full effect. But I thought because of what I was going to sell this time, it made me a better person. And because I was just going to find me, and everything that I described was true, except she was going to have good credit, she was going to do Pilates, she was going to be a nurse, and I was going to start a candy store, because you don't work hard at a candy store. Kids, nobody comes to the candy store anymore. And so I didn't have to deal with people. But what I didn't tell you about, my plan was, my dark passenger said, we just going to sell a little weed to my nurse girlfriend's friends. That way they ain't in the street. That way prison don't come back to me. Y'all don't hear me up in here. I had a plan. I was going to live right behind on Fortune Drive, right behind the Appliance Pro, those houses that they had put up. And I was going to have me, I didn't even want a big Benz. She's a pretty. I was going to just get a 190. I didn't even need the 550 because that was going to draw too much attention. And here comes Jesus in my life. Hallelujah. And one day I get this job. Watch this. And I get this job on Fortune Drive at this place called Appliance Pro. And sometimes I made deliveries. And one day I pulled the truck out and I seen this cat riding down Fortune Drive. It was Winchester Road. He's riding down Winchester Road. He had dreads and golds. I was going to get dreads. He had dreads and golds. He was in a Benz 190. And he had a beautiful young lady sitting next to him. And I said, "You stole my life." Y'all laughing. I had to pull it over. Here I am, struggling to pay the light bill of church in a storefront with 13 members, and there goes my Benz down the street with my, I know she looked like a nurse in the face, and she probably said Pilates. I promise I'm saved. Romans, hey baby, my wife said, that's deep. Romans chapter 7, verse number 14 of the New Living Translation, we find the Apostle Paul going through some of the realest thinking we have ever seen. Please understand, he's being honest about himself. And the only time that you can declare that you are own, or what you're own is real, is when you are being honest about what it is that you're own. Don't you ever fool yourself into believing that you real fake. Let me say that again. Don't you ever convince yourself that you are real while you're actually fake. And you don't not know that you fake. When you fake, you know you fake. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so the reality is you might be real, but the reality is you're real fake. The only time you can say back with your head held high, chest pumped out, and say, I am real, is when you're being honest, no matter what the situation is on. Let me make it plain. I truly believe all of you who are here that are members and disciples, and there's a difference between members and disciples. A member shows up, enjoys themselves, you know, pay tithes, and may help out in one of the ministries, and that's really where it stops. They might pay tithes, they might not. But a disciple, on the other hand, the disciple, they will come to church, pay the tithes, help wherever they're needed, give special offerings to every auxiliary that's open. And watch this, they are not just followers of Christ in talk, but they are followers of Christ in deed. You understand what I'm saying to you? Disciples don't just read the word, watch this, they apply the word, and they don't just read the word and apply the word to themselves, but they spread the word, and they inspire people by their spirit to want to know the word for themselves. Can I just go ahead and say this before I go on? Lord, have mercy. And I hope this slaps somebody right in the face. If you have been claiming to be a part of the body of Christ for over a year now, and you haven't won nobody to the Lord, then you are probably not where you think you are. Because the word of God, watch this, it's attractive. The word of God is inspiring. It's like fire, and we know what fire does. Fire what? It spreads. And John said in John 1, chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he drops down a few verses later in verse number 14, and he says, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I just go ahead and say, back that thing up real quick, and deal with the first clause in number 14? It said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, have mercy. Pastor, why are you excited about that? I'm excited because to be a Christian simply means to be Christ-like, like Christ. You get it? Christians. And the Bible says that the Word become flesh, and the Word of God, and it became flesh, a.k.a. Jesus. And we should be so in the Word on a daily basis that the Word be just every, you know what I'm saying? It just begins to consume us to the point where it transforms us from flesh to the Word. So when people see us, they don't see the we that we used to be. They see the transformed us by the Word. Watch this. And so every time they see you, they see God. Let me ask you a question. What would your family look like if every time they saw you, they saw God? How would your children be operating if every time they saw you, they saw God? How would the workplace be if every time they saw you, they saw God? Lord, have mercy. Would you have to worry about your kids if when they saw you, they saw God? Y'all ain't talking to me here today. What would the world look like if every time they saw us, they saw God? We find Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse number 14, and he is a man who is perplexed. He's a man who is perplexed. He is a man who is being totally real because, to be quite honest, he's come to a point in his life where his issues and isms has him backed against the wall. And now that he's backed against the wall, he finds himself trying to really figure this thing out. Now get this, many theologians, this is why it caught me in that verse earlier, but many theologians believe that the book of Romans was in chronological order when written in chronological order was actually his fourth book. Some say his second book after Galatians, but the majority say it was his fourth book. Why does this matter?
He's been locked up for absolutely nothing, still preaching the gospel. There has been signs, miracles, and wonders on the strength of him using the name of Jesus. He's in a place with God that many of us, sadly enough, have the opportunity to be, but will probably never be. And he's got issues. He's got issues. And if that isn't the case, you understand? And get this, none of the fact that he preached a boy in boredom so much that the boy fell out the window and died. He went down, picked him in the name of Jesus, get up, the boy got up, Paul kept preaching. You know, so he took whoopings that none of us would probably be able to take. And on the strength of God blessing him with Luke, the physician helped him up and he was right back. Only he stood in the face of his oppressors and said, I don't really care how you're going to take this, but am I supposed to please you or am I supposed to please God? You decide. But on the strength of what I've been through and on the strength of what I've learned, I'm going to worship God anyway. And not only am I going to worship God with all that it is that you're threatening me with, I'm going to preach God. See, it's one thing to worship God. And I think that's one of the problems that we have in the 21st century church. Everybody worships safely in the church where ain't no opposition. Ain't nobody going to get mad at you in here for worshiping Jesus. Ain't nobody in here going to get mad if you get saved. Ain't nobody in here going to get mad if you speak in tongues. But the moment you walk outside that door, my question is, do you carry that same Holy Ghost fire with you out the door that you operate in inside? He doesn't care. And so he's to a place, he's in a place in God where he's like, whether I live or whether I die, that's up to him. But I've come to the conclusion that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so he can take me right now. And I'm all right with it. Is it anybody in here that's real enough to say, now watch this before you throw your hands in there. Is it anybody in here right now that would say, come on and get me right now, God? Not me. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. Y'all used to them preachers that say, just come on and take their line. You know why? How a preacher that won't answer your call at 3 in the morning ready to go see Jesus now? How a preacher that won't show up for you in your roughest of times ready to go see Jesus now? How is it that a preacher that has no love in their heart and you don't feel that there's a coldness from them ready to see Jesus now? They ain't. I don't want to not go because heaven ain't all that. Heaven is all that. I don't want to not go because hanging with Jesus won't be all that. That will be all that. I don't want to go right now because I need to be sure. Is it anybody real enough in here to just go and say, I'm not always sure. I can be thinking that I'm sure sometimes, and then I find myself, somebody rubbed me wrong at work, and I operate in a way that says, maybe I ain't ready for you to come back just right now. Yeah. I'm so sick of these faithful holy Christians that, you just got it all together, just when you wake up, the devil is alive. Devil, there's a lie. Let me get back to this and get you out of here. Get this. He is the Apostle Paul. He has been confirmed and affirmed by Barnabas, but most of all by Jesus. Remember, he told Ananias, he said, now I want you to go get him so that he's got great things to suffer for my name's sake. He's been affirmed by the Lord himself. Watch this. And he's got issues. Why are you stressing that, Pastor? Because some of you need to take the razor off your wrist. Some of you need to walk out of that state of depression. You ain't jacked up, you're human. You ain't messed up, you're human. And you're not expected to have it all together all the time. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, you can walk this word and walk this word out, but there's going to be some time. Let me tell you something. The Bible said that Jesus had to learn obedience all the way up until the cross. So if Jesus had to learn obedience all the way up into the cross, you know some of us going to have to take night classes. And so some of you are walking around with this, woe is me, I can't seem to do nothing right. I'm trying to do the right thing, and I don't know what's wrong with me. You have a passenger. And if Paul, the Apostle Paul, who walked with Lord have mercy, who stood in the presence of God,
who was actually able to operate in the natural, in a natural sense, but in the third heaven. You understand? If he says, I got issues,
go ahead and give yourself a break.
In fact, all over the church, somebody just said, I'm giving myself a break today. Watch this. I'm not licensing myself to sin. I'm not making it okay to be a trip. I'm not advocating it's all right to be wrong. But what I am doing is I'm taking myself off this pedestal that everybody seems to have put me on simply because I go to church.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So I want you to let yourself off the hook.
Some of you can't walk this thing out right because you're on a hook that you don't belong on.
Yeah.
One of the greatest thing that was ever said about my ministry. You remember this? I was down. The Spirit of the Lord had hit me, and I was down on the ground, and I heard someone praying for me, and they were crying. They were just saying, "Please help him, please help our pastor, please." And they were just crying, and it was so beautiful because it was so true, it was so honest, it was so pure. And months later, that same person, we was on the phone talking, and I said something just crazy, and I said, "Oh Lord, my bad, I didn't mean to say that to you on the phone. And don't worry, I'm saved." And they started laughing, and they said, "Pastor, it's cool. I know you." And I said, and that prompted the question, "If you knew me, then why did you sit up under me?" And you know what they said? It was the coldest answer I ever got. They said, "Because we didn't see you trying. You let us know you're human. But we get to see you fighting for all of your adversities, all of the issues and natural situations that you go through in life as a man, but you fight." Bless my life. It blessed my life. It blessed my life. Because as soon as I heard that, I took myself off. What did y'all expect? You don't always get it right. But you're fighting. And some of y'all just go ahead and slap yourself on the back and say, "But at least I'm fighting. Didn't do too good last night, but I'm fighting now." You understand what I'm saying to you? Maybe I shouldn't have had the week that I had last week, but I'm fighting. I ain't staying here. I'm not okay with it. I haven't just given over to sin. I'm fighting because there's a dark passenger on the inside of me that every now and again I forget to crucify. He gets the better of me. Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So. I'm almost done, I promise. But before I close it out, I want to tell you that this sermon series has an agenda. Come with an agenda with this series, and the agenda is that you get into a position of being able to recognize your dark passenger when it rears its head. You have to know who is who. You have got to know that when your mindset begins to take or to try to take on anything that is contrary to God, especially when you know that you've been training your mind by the Word of God, you need to know that that is a telltale sign that your dark passenger has entered the scene. Yeah. And when you realize that the dark passenger has entered the scene, everything's got to stop. Everything's got to stop. Because what you don't understand is that this passenger has the ability to destroy everything that you've been working on. This passenger has the ability to destroy relationships with people you love. Can I go ahead and be real with you? Yesterday I was taking it. We had this last piece of trash, and I was throwing away right over here in the dumpster. I was right over here, and the Lord told me, "Sonia, do you hear me?" The Lord told me, He said, "You need to tell your wife that today could be one of those days, because you've been all day long, and all she didn't stand up real quick. So all she saw all day long, and you that were here, was me doing this. All day long. Sister Brenda sat over there and watched. And I was just talking just all day. And so I get into the car and something flips. Lord have mercy. And it's on. The whole day. Here I am." And this is what she said. Watch this.
minister. She says, but she was okay all day long. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, you wasn't okay. You was fighting. Because I don't do this every day out in public. I respect her. I ain't going to be kissing all over and licking all over. And y'all think that's affection. That's disrespect. I was brought up by old folk. They tell me, yes, disrespect to me doing all that out in public. But I was holding on to her. You understand what I'm saying? She's not knowing that my spirit knew something was on the scene. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me. My spirit knew something was on the scene that I didn't quite know was there. And let me remind myself that I love you. Let me remind myself that you're everything to me. Let me remind myself that I don't want to hurt your feelings. You understand what I'm saying to you, but the Lord told me, Tanner, this is one of these days that it could go down, and I didn't. Sometimes when you find yourself a little more loving than usual, sometimes when you find yourself a little nicer than you usually are, and you can't even define why it is that you're acting this way, I just want you to know the Holy Spirit is on the strength of you, blessing you, trying to help you through it. Get ready, because here it comes. And if something flips like that, you ought to be able to say, oh, hold on, that wasn't how I was acting. Stop everything. Because this thing right here could mess up everything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That dark path. That dark passage will just ever walk up on the scene of your life and destroy everything that you love. You got folk looking at you like you're crazy. You sitting over here, y'all don't understand me. You don't get what's going on. You don't hear what you're saying. You didn't hear how you said that. I didn't say it. Yes, you did. You said it like that. And everything around you, ever been in that situation where you sitting around and everything you know loves you feels like they hate you? Find yourself by yourself in your mind, because this dark passenger has taken over one of us. Oh God. I want you to get this. I'm almost done. I want you to get this. You will never be able to rid yourself of this dark passenger as long as you are alive. You can't watch this. And this is why you got to be careful about these spiritually spooky churches. That they wanna cast out everything. Yeah, everything's a demon. Everything is a. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the reality is, I want you to understand this. You can't cast out your flesh. Yeah. You can't. Well, can I just go ahead and bless you today? You can't kill a demon and you can't cast out your flesh. But you can kill your flesh and cast out a demon. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you got to be under a ministry that knows the difference between what they're dealing with. I've seen people run up on me, and the Lord told me to tell you that right now, in the name of Jesus, but baby, that ain't no demon. That's my passenger. He ain't going nowhere. And you can't watch this. Can I just go ahead and bless you? Stop waiting for other people to kill your flesh. They can't. You got to kill your flesh. I might be able to take up for you in the natural. I might be able to take up for you in the natural, but in the spirit, it ain't nothing that I can do. Y'all remember that time we had that little 5'4" girl? She weighed 100 pounds over at the old church, and she was full of demons. She was full of legion, and she told big old 300-pound Delchick at the time. She said, quit trying to take up for him. You can't. This is spiritual. This ain't natural. Take your hands off of me. This ain't natural. Mama can't save you. You better learn how to kill your own flesh. Daddy can't. I don't care how much Bible he quote. He can't save you. You better learn how to kill your own flesh. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you can't kill what you can't identify. And some of us have been operating in our flesh for so long, we don't know the difference between our flesh and you, my flesh and me, my flesh. You understand what I'm saying to you? When people begin to tell me that I was operating in my flesh, I'm like, my flesh, that's just who I am. And they're like, no, that's not who you are. You cannot kill who you cannot identify. Lord have mercy. Romans 7:14. He says, this is the only verse we're going to work with today. So the trouble is not with the law. It's not with the law. For it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. law that Paul is speaking of is the Mosaic Law. And the law was given specifically to the nation of Israel. And it was made up of three parts. It was made up of the Ten Commandments, the ordinances, and the worship system, which included the priesthood, the tabernacle, and the offerings. The offerings are and the festivals. The purpose of the Mosaic Law was to accomplish many things. But the one thing that I want to focus on today that it was supposed to focus on was it was to reveal to us the sinfulness of man. And although the law was good and holy, it did not provide salvation for Israel. And although the law is still good and holy, it does not provide deliverance of your sins today. It lets you know that you was messed up, if I just plainly put it. You understand what I'm saying to you? No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. I didn't know that it was wrong to steal until they said, thou shalt not steal. I didn't know, watch this, this will help a whole lot of them here. I did not know that it says, you should not covet. Oh, Lord. So watch this, watch this. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. I am also human, a slave to sin. Can I ask a question in here? And everyone tell the truth and shame the devil? How many really left in here to say, I am all too human and a slave to sin? And see, so what this means, when Paul is saying that he is all too human, what he is saying is that all humans, regardless of the power they command or the very many moral deeds that they may perform in life or literally anything that they do in life, they are still useless. Paul was saying that without God, nothing that he does is worth anything. Now, I felt in my spirit when I said, how many of us would admit that we are all too human and a slave to sin? And some of you in your mind said, I might be all too human, but I ain't a slave to nothing. How many of you been through smoking for over 6 months now? Still smoking. To the point to where now you're down to the, I just have a hit every now and then. I just give you one of stress. How many times have you said, this is the last time I'm going to drink? Or this is the last, woke up the next morning and said, I ain't getting drunk like that no more, and been drunk like that five more times since the last time you proclaimed it, unless the last time was last night. Slave to sin. Ain't nobody getting this. Ain't nobody touching my body. You ain't getting this until I got your ring and your last name. And how many of you single? And slaves to sin. You know how many times I said, you know how many times I sat back and said, bro, I ain't never gonna go out like this again just to call you at what, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, like, We get brand new and sedity and a lightweight bougie when I said, and a slave to sin. I ain't a slave to nothing. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're a slave to what's waiting for you at home right now. Slave. And boy, y'all better stop playing with me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Some of you are a slave to your job, which is sin. Why? Because your job oftentimes keeps you out of church. And let me just go ahead and bless somebody in here today that's been thinking this. If whatever keeps you out of church and away from God is not of God, stop running around here thinking because they gave you $4 more and a new name on it, that's from the Lord. That's a lie. Anything that keeps you from God is the enemy. Anything that keeps you from God is the enemy. Well, that's how I pay my rent. Well, that's what you depend on. Thus, that is your... And we're trying to figure out why I work and I work and I work, but it's as if my pockets have holes in them. That's what the Bible said, right? It's because you serve the wrong God. said, the trouble is with me. Here was the agenda that I must tell you about. The agenda of this sermon series is for us to be delivered by the end of it. Fluid, and by the end of it, delivered. Strong enough, watch this, delivered because our dark passenger no longer will have control over us, because we will see him and know him for the enemy that he is. That is the agenda of this series. And so in order for this to happen, right, in order for there to be deliverance through and at the end of it, watch this, the first thing that you're going to have to operate in all through this series is honesty. Now, I told you, honesty can be real. Honesty can be ugly, but that don't make it not real. Stop looking for the pretty way out. Sometimes you've got to say, watch this, sometimes you've got to say, it ain't your fault, it's just me. It's because I refuse to crucify this passenger. This morning I have diabetes. I'm on the way to feeding you, bless the Lord, but I have diabetes, and this morning I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I wanted cookies. Can I make this real for you? If you've got diabetes, if you've got any type of health issue, and you operate against the health issue, you are operating under the influence of your dark passenger. Your passenger always wants to be appeased and pleased. You understand what I'm saying to you? So laugh at my cookies, but if I continue to eat too many cookies, I'm going to be walking in her this. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I want you to get this, because this is so important. When you see your passenger, no matter how good your passenger got you feeling, you have got to stop and call it out. And let me tell you, as you begin to crucify your flesh, guess what? It's going to hurt. Why is it going to hurt? Because it's connected to you. And you have fed it for so long. And after feeding, now you say, now you can't have. And it's going to hurt. But instead of giving in and over to the temptation of that flesh, of that passenger, of that feel-good, let yourself go through it. And as you're going through it, be mindful. I ain't going to forget how this feels. Because once I get free of this, I won't ever let something move me from the darkness again. Go on through it. I would love to tell you now that you're about to set out to kill your passenger, it's just going to be easy. The devil is a lie. It's going to be hard. You know why? Because you know what you're risking. You know how it makes you feel. You know what it do for you. But you've forgotten what it's doing to you. This series has an agenda, and it is to be able to recognize your passenger and kill him. Kill him all the day long if necessary, and you will be killing him until Jesus returns. You understand what I'm saying to you? Until you leave this earth realm, or until Jesus, you will be killing this passenger. That is the agenda. You'll recognize who's prompting your wrong. To know that everything evil operating, Paul said, it ain't me. It's this member on the inside of me. Lord have mercy. How many of you are relieved to hear that? All this stuff that I've not been able to stop doing that's against God.